The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came, baptizing with water, was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for you, the people of God. Praise be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you to encounter you in this Advent season. Thank you for coming into our lives, both as the Christ child and as the glorious King that we await to come again. Dear Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Open our ears and hearts. Dear Lord, let my mouth be not my mouth, but a vessel for the communication of your gospel and its meaning. Work through me, O Lord, and work through all of us that we may hear and understand. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, this title for today's name of God is Lamb of God, and that comes from this passage in John the Baptist. So this is the first time in Scripture up to this point, through all the Old Testament and the other Gospels even, in John's Gospel, in just John 1:29, this is where we first hear this name, Lamb of God. So it comes from John the Baptist. Now, John, as you know, he had his own ministry. He had been called out of the wilderness to baptize, and tons of people were coming out to the Jordan River in the desert to be baptized and in the wilderness. And you know how they say, like with restaurants or businesses, location is everything? Didn't matter for John. They were coming out there anyways, way out there to find this man baptized. And so he had his own ministry. He also had his own disciples, and they followed him. We know that from this gospel as well and other gospels. And then the chief priest even sent people to ask him, "Are you the Messiah who has come?" And then finally, he's dressed like Elijah, so he recalls the Old Testament prophets. So he's this link to prophets that haven't been around for 300 years prophesying. And here is John. So John had a lot going for him, for himself. But listen to what he says in verse 30 of the gospel that we read. "This is the one I meant when I asked, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me.'" So, and you guys will remember another passage from other gospels, probably more, which is, "He must increase, and I must decrease." And so even though John had all of these things going for him, his whole life and everything that he did, his ministry, actually his own disciples would become Jesus' disciples, many of them, we know now. He wasn't the Messiah. He was the one who prepared the way for the Messiah. All these things, all his life, points towards Jesus. And you know, I think that's very instructive. So one of the things that we can learn from this name, the Lamb of God, is that we need to get out of the way, right? And let Jesus be the way. So despite what all the advertisements tell us through all out Christmas, right? Instead of it being about me, which is what they tell you, it's about Jesus, the Christ child. You guys will remember, I've mentioned this probably every Advent. If you look up paintings of John the Baptist, right, online or whatever, or in books, he was almost always doing this in the painting. And his finger is painted especially long to emphasize the point. But he was the forerunner. He was the one who pointed to Jesus Christ. And so in some of them, which is very fitting for today's name, in some of them, John is pointing to a lamb as well. When you leave today, go out, look at our sign outside, and there's a picture of a lamb holding a cross. And oftentimes it's that picture that, yeah, Jeff.
Weren't they both the same age?
No.
John the Baptist was about 6 months older, we think, because remember Mary goes to Elizabeth, she's pregnant. Mary's pregnant at the time, and he leaps in the womb, and so just a little bit older. Yeah. We don't know how much contact they had with each other, you know, over the course of that time and growing up. We would assume that they would have, since Mary and Elizabeth were so close. We just don't know about that. It would be, someday we will. Yeah. And so, John the Baptist, I think, helps put things into perspective for us, who gave, you know, Jesus this name, Lamb of God. And he helps direct our attention in the season where so many things can distract us back to what's most important, which is Jesus Christ, the Lamb. There was a guy named Glenn Adsett, and he was a missionary in China. And just like it is today, and this was years ago, this was like the 1950s, years ago is not too much different than it is now with a lot of things. It's still under communist rule. And Glenn Adsett was a missionary there, and he was under house arrest for trying to spread the gospel in China. And he was under house arrest with his family. There were four of them, and he was in house arrest for a very long time. Well, finally, praise the Lord, the government came to him and said, you can go back to America. And they said, but you can only take 200 pounds. And so they started the process. You know, with four of them living there for a long time, they had a lot of stuff. So they got the scale out, and everybody chose what was important to them. And they started putting it on the scale, and of course it would be too much. And then they had to decide what they were going to take off and keep going down to get. And so finally they got the 200 pounds, exactly. And the soldiers came back, and they said, are you ready? And how much does it weigh? And they said, 200 pounds. And then the soldiers said, did you weigh the kids? And then all of a sudden, they said, no, we didn't weigh kids. All of a sudden, all this stuff that had been so important to them, that they took so much time to figure out, this is what is more important to me than all this other stuff, all of that became rubbish, of course, because the children were obviously more important than that. So everything else became rubbish. And I think that's what John helps us do as he points to the Lamb of God, is he helps us sift through everything else, all the stuff that we have, all the things that try to get our attention, everything, and cuts through all that and points to what's most important and shows us all the possessions and stuff. And all that stuff is actually rubbish when it comes down to it. You know, it's more about Jesus Christ, the Lamb, who is the one who is shining for us, darkness in the light. In John chapter 2, verse 13, we get a little context to the name Lamb of God that John the Baptist chose. This may be why John chose it. We don't know for sure. But in John 2, 13, it says, when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So this is the chapter after the gospel that we read. And so I think it's fitting that this is a fitting clue. One of the reasons John the Baptist may have chose Lamb of God for Jesus is because it's the Passover time. And you guys know so much about the Passover lamb, we've had the Seder, we've had the man, you remember when the man from the Jews for Jesus came and showed us the Passover and all its meaning. And so I know you guys know a lot about that, but this point in Jewish history, right when this is happening, is a time in which the Passover lamb began to be identified with sacrifice. It wasn't always identified in that way. It was more about, the Passover is tied to the Exodus. It was more about, the hurried aspect and those other aspects of the Seder. But the Passover lamb became key during this time, a little bit before when this gospel occurs. And so it had started to be identified with sacrifice. So John the Baptist may have named Jesus Lamb of God because he is being seen for the first time as the Passover lamb. This is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. And so what we see is that Jesus is the Lamb. He didn't retaliate in his life. He didn't threaten or reach out at this moment in his life to subdue those around him. And then let's go back to 1 Peter 1, 19 as well. But with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. And so we see that the early Christians, Peter as well, was connecting Jesus with the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And so in the Passover, they would literally select, for it was called the Paschal Lamb, they would literally select a lamb that was without defect. And they, during the service, they would, in a symbolic sense, put all the sins of the community for that year upon this lamb. They would slay that lamb, and they would offer it as a sacrifice to God. And so, in John 1:29, when John the Baptist points at Jesus, says, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." You know, that phrase is actually kind of misleading in a way. Takes away kind of makes it sound like Jesus does this easily. Like he snaps his fingers and it's gone. Take it away, right? You know, or like a servant might take it away or something like that. And there's a guy named John Owen who from the 1950s was doing some work on this passage, and he came up with the fact that the Greek is actually closer to these two phrases, to lift up or to bear away. And so Jesus literally takes our sins and lifts it up, just like he was lifted up maybe on the cross. But he lifts it up from us, and then he bears it away. And so in other words, the burden is on him. And he does that. It's not like he just takes it away, but instead he bears it away as the Lamb of God. It's not a wave of his hand to do this. And I think that's an important distinction to have. This is Luke 22, verse 37. As it is written, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And so I include that just to emphasize again that he became a part of all of this. Jesus Christ, who had no sin, became a part of all this. He was numbered with the transgressors, which was us, right? Everybody. He was numbered with us. He became a part of it. He got his hands dirty, got his clothes dirty, in a metaphorical sense. It wasn't easy for him. He took it upon himself. And so John the Baptist, in our gospel we didn't read today, kind of comes to us with a tough question. And that is, for all that Jesus has done for us, we owe him our lives, right? And 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, we were bought with a price. We are not our own. Right? And so for all that Jesus has done for us, he asked this question to all the people of Israel who are coming out there to see him. Basically, do your lives point back to him? Do your lives point back to God? And for us, the Lamb of God. I think that's one question that this name gives to us and that we should wrestle with when we think about the Lamb of God is, do our lives point back to the Lamb like John points to the Lamb? You know, of all the names that he could have given, that John the Baptist could have given Jesus, he didn't give him stuff like great philosopher. He didn't give him stuff like great rabbi, which means, you know, great teacher. Or, hey, there's a good person. He didn't say all those things. He said Lamb of God. And so what John is doing there, besides saying that he's the Passover lamb, and besides really giving us a prophetic view of what the plan of salvation is going to be, because John the Baptist is the first to kind of give us a hint with that, with Lamb of God, besides the Old Testament prophets who have come before. He's also indicating that John is the Messiah. And if we go again to our scripture today, first let's go to Revelation. You guys will know Revelation 5, 6. It says, when I saw the Lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the corner of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. And so in the book of Revelation, Jesus is often called the Lamb as well, throughout the whole book, 29 times. And all these elders and all these people fall down before the Lamb, and they worship him. And so Jesus is the Messiah. And then if we go to John 1:34, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. And that's what Messiah means, chosen one. You know, last week we talked about the bright morning star. And one of the things that is exciting about Jesus' role as the bright morning star is that when he comes back, he's going to give justice. In other words, excuse it for, you know, the phrase, he's going to kick some butt. Right? I mean, he's going to give justice. You know, the Putins we talked about, right? Those people are going to bow. We talked about that. And that's the bright morning star when Jesus returns. And that's his role. But Jesus, as the Lamb of God, was living a sacrificial life. And so, you know, justice is God's. In fact, Romans 12:19 says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And so as we follow, we are followers of the Lamb. And it's not our role to take that vengeance into our own hands, but to let it be God's. And so I think one way in which we respond to this title in our lives, Lamb of God, is to continue to, with the Holy Spirit's help, try to live sacrificially, in our lives. And it's always the hard way, right? It's always the hard way. Because oftentimes people do things to us and we had no wrong in it. We weren't in the wrong at all. But people do things to us and that festers in us and we want to lash out, you know, and let them have it, right? They even deserve it. We didn't do anything wrong, right? And we need to keep in mind that that is God's role. And to continue to try to live sacrificially, to try to forgive. Again, it's always the harder way. And I don't say that as an easy path. And these are things I wrestle with all the time, too. But that is what it means to follow the Lamb of God. And so as you go forth today into this week, think about the three things that the Lamb of God means for us as we go forth. And one of those things is remember that Jesus Christ is the most important, that he is the one. All this other stuff that we have in our lives, all our other worries, you know, Sarah and I had a huge mess with our car this week. All that stuff's rubbish. when it comes down to remembering that Jesus Christ is the most important. That's number one. Number two, ask the Holy Spirit that your life might point back to the Lamb. And in the you know, through the Holy Spirit and the light that shines through you, through deciding certain things, you know, hey, I'm not going to lash out against them. That shines the light. That's pointing back to the Messiah. And then finally, to try to live as sacrificially as you can for others. Amen.